All right, it's the Monday morning quarterback. It's brought to you by DivorceMenOnly.com. And Tom Petty means only one thing. We're headed down to Hogtown, where the czar of Southern College sports, Pat Dooley, joins us right now. Patrick, good morning, sir. How are we?
I'm doing good. How about you?
Good. We'll go item. We'll go line item here. One, two, three. One, Lady Gator softball. Beatable? I mean, what part of you is... What's your percentage of worry that they don't come home with their third national title in 4 years?
Well, I mean, it's hard to believe that Kelly Barnhill didn't give up any runs, you know, and then you come back with Gourley, who has been amazing. I mean, I think, but you got to remember, Oklahoma's really good. Oklahoma tends to peak at the end of the year. I think they're something like 35-1 in the last 36 games. So they have the home crowd. So I don't think it's a given, but I like Florida's chances just because of the pitching is so overwhelmingly good. I mean, I thought Gourley yesterday was amazing. Every time you thought she was in trouble, she'd throw that curveball or drop pitch, and either one was getting guys out.
So, I've been late to the softball party, Pat, and I know Barnhill is the more accredited one, but from the five games I've watched since they hosted the Super Regional, you know, Gourley, the lefty's been better, and by my, you know, naked, untrained softball eye.
Well, she's been better of late, and it really wasn't during the season. In fact, they were throwing Barnhill on the Friday, Sunday, and throwing Gourley in between, and occasionally they throw Ocasio, whose ball doesn't move very much, and that's why you probably won't see her pitch anymore, or at least won't see her pitch these last three games. But, you know, she's a senior. And I think she's kind of seen the end of her career coming, and she's picked it up. And she's been really amazing. So pretty good problem to have with those two pitchers going for you.
Is there any concern with the Gator baseball team and the attendance, Pat? I mean, if the numbers are correct, I think they announced 2,000 yesterday. That's the number I saw. I know it probably seats twice that many comfortably. I mean, has it become – or is Gator baseball beginning to be – you know, taken for granted by the fan base, and then we'll get into the more serious issue of, you know, in position now after losing to Bethune-Cookman for maybe the most disappointing baseball game in the history of the program later today. More on that in a second. But just the overall state of things, is it expected with summer school and others, or have the attendance figures been disappointing?
Well, no, they've been disappointing. I will say this, though. It was a 7 o'clock Sunday game.
Yeah.
With threat of rain. And I mean, I get it. I didn't go. I sat home and watched it on ESPN3, you know. I follow their baseball team closer than anybody, but I didn't go. And I don't blame people for not going. It's just a bad time. It's people had to get up in the morning. They had just seen the night before a game that went until after midnight. So I get it. But I will say this, Jeff, we're not a great sports town here.
Yeah.
We just aren't.
No.
And it's really I think people, when I say that to people, they're taken aback by it. But you look at baseball attendance, you look at basketball until yep. they
even football has fallen victim in the last 5 years for sure.
But, I mean, I think that it's funny because baseball, with the success they've had, and you look at places like Mississippi State and even Florida State, where they have good crowds despite the rain issues they had. We just don't – I don't know. For some reason in this town, baseball doesn't get people excited. And I'll tell you, a lot of it goes back to the fact that for the first half of this season, this team was impossible to watch. They were awful to watch. They didn't hit. They had – you know, anybody could be screaming at their TV, why are you taking those pitches? Why are you not – and so I think that kind of bled into – I was at an event last night, to be honest with you. Here's what I did. I went to taste the game still instead of going to baseball.
Mm-hmm.
And – there were people saying, I can't watch that team. They're no fun to watch. I'm like, well, they're different. They're not for everybody, but they're a different team.
They don't hit. I mean, they haven't hit now in the postseason either to the degree that they need to. I mean, we talked confidence level on the Lady Gators winning a national title. My confidence level on this Gator baseball team, no matter what happens today against Bethune-Cookman, is somewhere between 0 and 10% because the bats, they're just not well-rounded enough, I don't think. Even though the pitching is really good, but let's just
go look at this Bethune-Cookman team too, and give them a lot of credit.
Sure,
remember the old Jacksonville? What was the Jacksonville softball team back in the 80s?
Yeah, the Warren Motors.
Warren Motors. That's what they remind me of. It's like watching Warren Motors. All these guys with long hair and Yeah. I mean, they're huge.
I saw a guy on there scoring. They had a picture of a guy scoring. I wasn't at the game either scoring. I didn't watch it on TV, but he looked like, I don't know if you've watched Brockmeyer on IFC, but
yeah.
The Lugnuts have that one old guy, Jose. They had a guy scoring that looked like that guy. He was straight out of Brockmeyer. Yeah, so.
And they're having fun. They're loose. The pressure's all on Florida.
Yeah.
And that's why my level of confidence isn't real high either. Plus, you know, I keep asking myself, who's Florida going to pitch? And I have no idea right now. But then I think, well, who the heck is Bethune going to throw? Because they've thrown everybody they've got. So it could be one of those 15-14 games today.
Wow. Well, if Florida scores 15 or 14, that's the news in and of itself, the way those bats have been. All right, now on to the story that probably hits most people's barometer, the strongest, and that's the Gator quarterback situation and Malik Zaire telling anybody that'll listen that he's headed to the University of Florida. You know, I think that, you know, we've been reminding folks, I think there's a lot of people out there that think have this, like, this opinion or this notion that Zaire and Kizer flip-flopped that job the last 3 years, and they each made about the same number of starts, when in reality, DeShone Kizer's a very inexperienced quarterback. He's played on a big program, and he's been to a lot of big games, but he hadn't played very much at all. What do you expect if Malik Zaire, as it seems like the tea leaves are pointing, ends up signing with Florida? Do you think he starts against Michigan, or is there any way to know?
I think people are reading way too much into the fact that Florida is willing to take him. And it's not that McElwain's willing to take him. We're still not sure Florida's willing to take him, because he told me, Coach McElwain, at one point that, you know, that was a big issue, was getting him into school. And this was a problem. Everett Golson wanted to come here. And he went to FSU. They couldn't get him into grad school because he had the academic issue at Notre Dame. And Florida, you know, again, is trying to get lofty status and by taking kids who have questionable academics. That's not the way to do it. I think it'll probably work it out. But I think the bottom line is, anytime you can enhance a position, you do it. If you can bring in a kid and it makes you better at that position. Now, you look at Florida, I still think Felipe Franks will be the starter when they open the season. But if he gets hurt, rolls an ankle, are you ready to bring in Kyle Trask, who didn't even start in high school? Are you ready to bring in back Luke Del Rio, who we kind of know his ceiling? Or maybe Malik Zaire, and you bring in some different kind of offense. You bring in, you know, they've got Kadarius Toney, who can also do that run scramble stuff. Maybe you run more quarterback read option. I mean, I think it gives you another weapon. It gives you another option more than anything.
No concern at all that they can't seem to, at now into year three, find a quarterback they're comfortable to go all in with, or it's just that's kind of how programs go sometimes?
Well, I think it's the way this one's going. You know, again, last year you had Del Rio starting and Appleby was the backup, and again, Appleby was one and done-er. But there is an issue that I think most people feel like Florida could be really good if the quarterback plays good, and nobody knows whether it'll be good or not. And that's the real problem, is that Felipe Franks, from what I hear, has had problems with the playbook. He has the talent. They sat him out a year on purpose to get him thicker, because he was a very skinny kid coming in here, and it's worked. He looks like the part, but we'll see how he does. And again, if I'm betting, if I'm laying $20 down, me and you betting, I'm betting Frank Starfield.
Yeah, I've already made a bet that, well, before Zaire, I thought Luke Del Rio would play a half of football this year and be the first half or first quarter against Michigan, and just for the enormity of the stage, you know, have him out there for the first year. A lot like we've seen Alabama do through the years, but I'm with you that...
And again, that makes some sense. Yeah. I don't know how healthy he's going to be, you know, you know, with both shoulders, I think he had operated on, and I don't know what that's going to do to his arm strength or anything like that. So I think that they're kind of wait to see on that too. But at least you have options. And, you know, it may not be that there's a 1A guy, but at least you have people you can go to. And if things don't work out with one, you can go to the other. Don't forget, this is a coach who got burned mightily his first year, and he walks in here and he's got Will Grier and Treon Harris, and that's it. And Will Grier goes six games and gets busted for PED.
And
you've got a 5'11 quarterback who can't throw.
And ironically, I looked at a list today of the 10 best transfer quarterbacks, and Malik Zaire to the Gators would be number 9. Will Grier to West Virginia? number one. Of course, that is what it is. There's nothing they could do about it. Pat, always appreciate it. I love your insight, and we'll talk more as we approach SEC Media Days. Thank you.
Anytime, buddy. We'll see you.
All right, there he goes. Pat Dooley, czar of SEC Sports.